Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
He is alive, alive, alive forevermore. Glory be to God. Lots to be excited about. Lots to be joyful about. Amen. I said lots to be happy about. And because he lives, we can more than face tomorrow. We can enjoy tomorrow. Amen. And we can even enjoy today on the way to tomorrow. Hallelujah. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can enjoy today on the way to tomorrow. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to wait until the end of the year. Thank God we can enjoy right now. We can enjoy every moment of every day because the Lord's our shepherd. The Lord's our shepherd and we shall not want. He's a good shepherd. I said he's the good shepherd. And he leads us and guides us into a peaceful, restful, enjoyable, happy, fulfilling, satisfying life. That's the kind of life he has for us. Hallelujah. That's what he's all about. That's what he came to bring us in the very beginning when he made us. He made man in the very beginning, formed him out of the dirt, and then he took him and he placed him right in the middle of a prison. Locked the doors up, locked him inside and said, go ahead and see if you can get out of it. Did he do that? No, what did he do? He took him and put him in a Garden of Eden. That's where he put him. Put him right in the middle of the Garden of Eden and had everything provided for him. I mean, it was a paradise, an absolute paradise. And that's been God's will for man from the very beginning, that his will would be done for us on earth as it is for those in heaven. And it's an absolute paradise in heaven. I said it's an absolute paradise in heaven. Why? Because God fills the place. God fills that place called heaven. And in his presence, in the presence of God, is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's what fills heaven, because that's what fills God's presence. That's what his presence is made up of, because that's what's coming out of God. What's coming out of God? Happiness. Happiness, like a river, is flowing out of God. Glory to God. That's the kind of God we serve. He's not this tyrant, overbearing, insensitive, tyrant of a God. No, he's a merciful, loving Heavenly Father who's only got good things for you and I. I said he's only got good things for you and I. Now, we can mess that up by not believing in him, not trusting in him, not looking to him. If we begin to look to ourselves, if we begin to look at ourselves as our provider, as the source of happiness, if we begin to look at other people and begin to trust in them and depend upon them, we are going to find ourselves let down time and time again. We're going to find ourselves tottering on depression time and time again if we don't put our focus and put our trust in him. But when we trust in him, when we lean on him, when our hope is in him, we got happiness. Why? Because he is the God of all hope. And in that hope is joy and peace. Notice here in Romans chapter 15. Romans, the 15th chapter. Now, I was preaching on a bunch of these things Wednesday night and even the week before that. The Lord has got me started on a series on Wednesdays called Thou Shall Enjoy Life. It's a command. Thou shall enjoy life. And I encourage you, if you weren't here for the last couple Wednesday evening services, to get your hands on, get your ears on. those messages that were ministered, lots of revelation in there that you need to hear going into this new year. We need to get a hold of this joy and peace that God has for us, this enjoyable life that He has for us, and we have to realize that it is not an option. Joy and peace is not an option in the kingdom of God. It's the law of the land. Let's go back actually to chapter 14 of Romans. Romans 14, it says in verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink." It's not about what you eat and what you drink. "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Notice that. This is what sums up the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. It's a kingdom of righteousness. And it's a kingdom of peace and a kingdom of joy. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And it's all in the Holy Spirit. This joy and this peace, this righteousness is in the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's supernatural. It's not just a natural peace and a natural joy. It's not just a peace that this world can give you. That temporary peace when things seem to be going good for us. When we seem to be having things happen for us that we want to see happen in our life. Those things can change. They can change like the weather. The good that the world offers can change like the weather. No, this is a peace. This is a joy that is in the Holy Spirit. In Him. And of course, it's the Holy Spirit that fills all of heaven. He fills that place called heaven. Everyone in heaven is in the Holy Spirit. Everyone in heaven is in the kingdom of God. Everyone in heaven is in righteousness. They're in peace and they're in joy. And they're in it 24/7. Don't know if they actually have calendars there and clocks there, but it's 24/7 in the Holy Spirit. 24/7 righteousness, peace, and joy, constantly, continuously, eternally. And that's what God's kingdom's all about, because that's what God is all about. In His presence, like we said, is fullness of joy. He's the God of all hope. Notice this, chapter 15, Romans 15, in verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope," that's who He is, hope. If you got hope, you can't be unhappy. No matter what is going on around you, how unhappy can you get when you have hope? And the hope we're talking about here is a confident expectation. It's not a wishing. It's not a, oh, I hope so, and it's full of doubt. It's full of uncertainty. That's not this hope. Bible hope is a confident expectation. It's a knowing of what will be. It's a knowing of what will be. And what will be? Good. Good things will be. I'm confident of that. I fully expect that. That's hope. So even though you could be going through a tight place, a tough place, according to the flesh, man, when you got hope, then you got confidence. You got expectation. There's an element of excitement about you of what is to come. Hey, man, you can look at trials and tests and say, oh, glory to God. Watch how God brings me through this. Watch how we come out on the other side of this. These weapons formed against me will not prosper. All these things that Satan has tried to bring against me, it's all going to turn for my good. And it is turning for my good. Glory, I don't know how, but I know it's not by my might or power, but it's by the Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the God of all hope. Amen. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. He's the God of hope. He'll fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I can abound in hope and thus abound in joy. Be filled and overflowing with joy. Be filled and overflowing with peace. The Bible in Philippians refers to this peace as a peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, it's a peace that goes beyond your reasonings. It's a peace that causes the mind to look and say, how could it be? How could it be so peaceful? How could it be so tranquil? How could it be so good in the midst of such negative circumstances? Peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because we're believing. See, that's the key right there. Believing in this God of hope. Trusting in Him. Not trusting in the arm of the flesh. Not trusting in yourself. Trusting in Him. Trusting in Him. So you see right there, we could tell when we're trusting in Him and when we're not. Trusting in Him is more than just throwing scriptures at Him. Trusting in Him is throwing peace and joy back at Him. Because that's what we're receiving from Him. That's what we're receiving from Him. He's filling us with joy and peace. And joy and peace is what's coming out of us. That's what's coming out of our life. So when we're not in peace, we're not in joy, then we're not in believing. Because believing, peace, and joy go together. They're synonymous. They're a team. There isn't one without the other. So important for us to understand this if we're going to be able to judge ourselves to be sure that we are in faith concerning things in life. And when we see that we're not in faith, when we see the peace is not there, when we see the joy is not there, and we recognize my believing's not there. My head says I'm believing, but my emotions tell me I'm not. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no happiness. When we see that, when we recognize that, what do? We get condemned. We fall apart. We cry. No. We go to Him. And we say, Lord, my believing is struggling. And I need help. Help me, Lord. And there's some things in life that we have to press in a little bit more into God. Because the situations or the circumstances are dominating our emotions. They're dominating our peace and joy, taking it from us. When we recognize this thing is bigger than my peace and joy, then we recognize I've got to strengthen my faith. No excuses. I said no excuses. That's what you do. You go into His presence. You wait upon the Lord. You take time with Him. You feed upon His word. You do what He has told you to do. You do the things His word tells you to do until you feel the joy coming back up. Until you feel the peace coming back up. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Until you're able to look at the circumstances in the eyes and laugh at them. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. That's good faith right there. That's some good believing right there when you can laugh in the face of the devil. When you can laugh in the face of negative circumstances. That's some good believing right there, folks. And that is for everybody. All the time. And so this is what we do when our peace is down. When our joy is down. We build our believing up. We build our believing up. What do? When peace is down and joy is down, we build our believing up. We build our believing up. We don't try to fix other people. We don't try to change the circumstances to try to get us the peace and try to get us the joy. No, we build our faith up. That's what we do. Build it up. One of the ways you can build your faith up, Jude 1:20, and you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Draw near to the Holy Spirit. Get into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He provides the power to believe. He provides you with the power to believe and thus gives you a supernatural peace and a supernatural joy that this world cannot take from you. Can't do it. Can't do it. No matter what the devil does, he can't take it from you. So there's been plenty of times I've had to withdraw back into God. Facing situations, I have to remind myself of His goodness. Pour my soul out to Him. Worship him, love on him, exalt him, yield to him. Yield myself over to the Holy Spirit. Feel myself become unified with the Holy Spirit. Becoming one with the Holy Spirit in thought, in mind, in feeling, in emotion, in body, in every way. We're already one in the Spirit, but now I have to cause my soul and my mind, my emotions, my will, my body to come in line to his presence. Become one with him. Become one with him. And in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. Notice Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, talking about the path of life, if you come over to chapter 17 and look at verse 4, it says, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. There are many paths that lead to destruction, but there is one path of life. Many paths that lead to destruction. Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end, it is the way of death. It's the way of death, way of destruction. There are many paths people would encourage you to take in life. But oh, thank God for the word of his lips. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the word of God. Hallelujah. And it's by the word of his lips that we're able to keep ourselves off of the paths that lead to destruction and keep ourselves on the path of life. Keep us on the path of life. And what did he say in chapter 16, verse 11? You will show me the path of life. How? Through his word. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. His word's going to help us to get on the path of life that is in his presence. His presence is life. In his presence is fullness of joy. That sounds pretty happy to me. That sounds pretty enjoyable to me. How often should we be on this path? How often should we be traveling this path? Huh? I can't hear you. I know you know the answer. It's all the time. All the time. Be on the path of life all the time. So therefore, how often should we be in this joy? This fullness of joy. And how often should we be in these pleasures? Forevermore. Forevermore. Hallelujah. That's his will for us. So we have to watch ourselves. When the joy is not there, when the peace isn't there, what's happening? We're slipping off the path. We're slipping off the path. We're getting out of believing. And if we get out of believing, we're getting away from him. We're getting away from our hope. We're getting away from our help. We're getting away from our happiness. And what are we doing? We're coming over here and we're getting on some other path. Some other path. And this path is called the path or paths of the destroyer. He'll promise you a great time, but it'll end in destruction. The destruction of your joy. The destruction of your peace. The destruction of your hope. We don't want to drift onto those paths. Those paths are there. I said there's paths. Most people are traveling those paths of the destroyer. So it can be very tempting to think. There's a lot of church folks on the paths of the destroyer while quoting scripture. They're out of the joy. They're out of the peace. They're out of the presence. They got some letters. They got some verses. But they're on the wrong path. And then they'll tell you, I'm a Christian too. Come with me. Look how good God is to me. Over here on this, you could do it this way too. Yeah, the word says that, but you could do it this way too. I mean, after all, God wants you to use wisdom. And they'll give you all kinds of reasonings and try to schnooker you right off the path of life and over here into the paths of the destroyer that most people are traveling. So we have to guard ourselves. guard ourselves. Keep ourselves in his presence. How? Keep ourselves in believing. How? Keep ourselves in joy. How? By keeping ourselves in peace. How? By keeping ourselves in the word. Keeping ourselves following the instructions of God's lips. Follow his instructions. And we'll stay in that peace. We'll stay in that joy. We'll stay in that belief. We'll stay in that presence. We'll stay on the path of life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And the title over our life will be Happy Days. Happy Days. Praise God. That'll be the title over our life. I'm not going to settle for a sad day. I've had sad moments. But I'm not going to stay in sadness. I'm not going to stay in sorrow. I'm not going to stay in grief. You understand, this is what Jesus bore in his body for you and I in order to set us free. That's right, Isaiah. Isaiah 53. The prophet Isaiah talking, describing Jesus here, thoroughly describing Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Notice that. Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's what he did for you and I. Now, if he bore it, why would you bear it? Everything Jesus bore in his body was an evil thing. He bore our sins in his body on that tree, on that cross. He bore our sins in his body. We also know that these words here, for griefs and sorrow, can also be translated pain, infirmity, sickness, disease. In fact, over in the Greek language, in Matthew 8:17, it's interpreted. If you read it, Matthew 8:17, it says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And it was quoting here from Isaiah. He took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. So notice, griefs and infirmities are the same. Sorrows and sicknesses are the same. Be translated either way. Either way would be right. Either way would be right. Neither one would be wrong. There's a lot of sickness that causes sorrow, and there's a lot of sorrow and sickness. Isn't that right? Jesus bore it all in his body to redeem us from it. He redeemed us from the curse of depression, which is under the curse of the law. You can read it over there in Deuteronomy 28. He took that curse. There is no excuse for you and I to be depressed. There's no excuse for it. We cannot accept it from ourselves. We cannot accept unhappiness from ourselves. We cannot make excuses for unhappiness. What we need to do is judge ourselves of unhappiness and get over into his happy presence. Are you supposed to be in his presence? Is there happiness in his presence? Would you be happy if you're in his presence? So then there wouldn't be an excuse to be out of his presence, would it? Then there'd be no excuse for you to be unhappy. Now you might not feel happy. You might be upset. You might be mad. Whatever the problem might be. I understand that. The Bible says over in Ephesians, be angry, but do not sin. You're going to have all kinds of negative feelings. You're going to have all kinds of negative emotions. You're going to have all these things come upon you, but guess what? You don't have to let them dominate you. I said, you don't have to let them dominate you. You can take them and run into his presence. Get over there in his presence, glory be to God, and build yourself up on your most holy faith. Strengthen yourself in your faith and stir up your joy. Stir up your peace in declaring his praise. Magnify him, exalt him, declare him. Come on, declare his word. Declare his goodness. Declare him. Don't just talk to him about you promised me this and focus on this. Focus on him. Focus on him. You can't get depressed focused on him. There's nothing depressing to see. There's nothing depressing there. So, I mean, you've got to jump on it. You've got to recognize, okay, I understand. I'm struggling here. I'm struggling here with fear. I'm struggling here. With sorrow, I'm struggling here. With anger, I'm struggling here. Being judgmental. But I'm not going to just sit here and accuse the world around me for making me this way. I'm off that path. I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to build myself up. And I'm going to come at those things with the strength of God, with the believing of God, with the faith of God, and overcome it. Hallelujah. It's dangerous to be on the path of the destroyer. There's nothing good in sorrow. We just saw it goes, it's synonymous with sickness, isn't it? There's nothing good in sorrow. We're not going to accept it from ourselves. So there might need to be some adjustments we have to make. Maybe it's not just a matter of declaring his promises and declaring his praises. Maybe it has to do with obedience, making some changes, doing some things to cause our life to line up with his word. Maybe there's some changes that need to come. And we don't get depressed about that. We just seek him for the grace to know what to do and then do it by his grace. And he'll help us. He'll strengthen us. And oh, glory, what happy days when we step over into that place of obedience. Oh, obedience is a great place to be. Brings such happiness. It brings such joy. Don't you want to stay happy? How about if I give you a bunch of reasons to be happy or a bunch of ways to be happy? No? No? Some of you don't know if you want that. So I think some of you want to hang on to the violin. Huh? What is it? We should be jumping at this. Happiness. Have it all the days of our life. Don't you want it? I can give you a bunch of ways to have a happy day. Have a happy life. Are you ready? All right, here's one. Proverbs chapter 29. I think some people don't want it. Not necessarily here, but, you know, some people, they don't, they like singing the blues. I mean, there'd be a lot of bands out of business if it wasn't for the blues, if it wasn't for people enjoying the blues, right? There'd be a lot of country songs that just wouldn't make it. Just wouldn't make it. A lot of celebrities out of business. If people couldn't have the blues, if they couldn't have some of this country music. She took my kids and she took my love and she took my money and she took it all. And now I'm bankrupt. I'm crying on the floor. Put a cowboy hat on. And I lost it all. All my gambling and all my drinking. I lost it all. It's amazing. People like listening to that stuff. They like listening to that. They like listening to the gambling and the drinking and it all. My life is ruined. People like that stuff. It's amazing. You think of how many movies just would never make it. People pay to go watch depression. They go watch people get killed. Watch people mourn and sorrow and grieve. We even have soap operas that are on every day of the week. One depressing relationship after the other. Right? One terrible thing, and the people just eat it up, they eat it up, they eat it up. You come and say, hey, you don't need your soap opera, you don't need your movies, you don't need your country music, you don't need your blues. I got good news for you today. God will make you happy. See, they wouldn't know what to do. Absolutely would not know what to do. Couldn't live without it. They live for that. There's a certain rush to these things. Friend, I got a better rush for you. I got a God kind of rush. It's a rushing mighty wind. It's a rushing mighty river. Come on. I got a rushing mighty wind and river of life. 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 Gets me so excited I can't contain it sometimes. That's what he's got for you and I. See, but a lot of folks, see, even Jesus said, he said, a lot of times folks won't let go of the old wine for the new wine, even though it's better. They won't let it go, see, because it's a security thing. That's what they've always known. That's when God's saying, I got new wine for you. It's like, well, I like my Jack. I like my Jack Daniel, I like my Bud. It makes me wiser. This is what I hang on to. He says, no, I got new wine for you, man. I got new stuff for you. Come on over here. There's no high like the Most High. Oh, I don't know. I never heard that before. That sounds, I don't know.
I'm going to stay with what's comfortable, what's destroying my life. Yes, that's where I'm going to stay. It's amazing. Because of people, they're comfortable with that. They don't know how to walk away from that. And they're going to keep clinging to the thing that's killing them, the thing that's destroying them. When all along, God's saying, I got something so much better for you. Some folks, they just don't know how they can live without the entertainment industry of America. I've got to have it. I got. You can't take it away from me. Well, nobody's trying to take it away from you. Just trying to show you something better. Amen. Then you become convinced in your heart. Bless God, you'll unplug from it. Ah, hallelujah. Plug yourself into God and just drink in his new wine. Drink in his life. So you're ready for a happy life? Do you want to know how to be happy? You can be. 24/7. You can live a happy life. Praise God, laughing right in the devil's face. Laughing right at him. Saying, it's going to be all right. Be all right? Be all right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Proverbs 29, in verse 18, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. They don't control themselves. But happy is he who keeps the law. What? The law? Happy is he who keeps the law. The law doesn't make you happy. Jesus delivered us from the law. That's what a lot of folks think. But I can tell you, Jesus did not deliver you from the law. He delivered you from being in bondage to the law by causing you to no longer be a criminal in the sight of God, in the sight of the law. He has justified you. I said he has justified you and I. And so if you're a criminal, yeah, the law won't make you happy. But if you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the law will make you happy. I said the law will make you happy. Can you say amen? So, yes, keeping the law is all a part of being happy. Notice Proverbs chapter 3. And in verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Talking about the wisdom of God. If you'll find the wisdom of God, it'll make you happy. So let's continue to seek after the wisdom of God. And then he goes on in verse 18, and he says, talking about wisdom, says she, refers to wisdom as a she here. She is a tree alive to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So you'll get happy finding wisdom, but praise God, you'll be happy too to retain wisdom. In other words, hanging on to it. Hanging on to it. Don't let it be stolen from you. Happy to know the enemy comes immediately to steal the word that's sown into our heart. He comes immediately to snatch the word out of it. Snatch that wisdom that God gives us. Jesus talks about folks that receive the word with gladness. Oh, hallelujah. That means happiness. They receive the word with gladness. They get happy. But then they don't have any root in themselves. And only endure for a little while. And then just about the end of the afternoon on Sunday, they don't have it anymore. They've lost it. Why? They didn't retain it. They didn't hang on to it. You know, when service is over today, if somebody asks you, what happened in service today? What was ministered to you? What was the word that was preached? We shouldn't look and go, I don't know, but it was good. I know it was good. I just don't know what it was. That's not retaining it. We want this joy to last. We don't want to just have joy for a little while we're hearing it. Praise God, we want to take it with us and work it in our life and take it serious enough that we don't forget it so easily. Amen? And then we'll have happiness. Do you see that? Notice in chapter 28 of Proverbs, we're in this book of wisdom here. Wisdom of God telling us how to live a happy life. Proverbs 28. In verse 14, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So if you want to stay happy, stay reverent. Stay respectful. Respect God. Respect your leaders. Respect your elders. Be respectful. And if you live a life of being respectful. You know, we live in a very disrespectful generation.
And we live in a very unhappy generation, in a very unhappy time for a lot of people. But there's a whole lot of disrespect, a lot of dishonor towards one another, especially towards authority, especially towards God. But if we're always respectful, what are we going to be? Happy. Happy. Proverbs 16. Isn't it amazing? God, the Bible has a lot to say about being happy. Isn't that interesting? Proverbs, see, I think just seeing that will make you happy. Just seeing that will help you to understand. You know, we got a happy God. God's will for you is happy. God's will for you is happy. If you have his law, you're going to be happy. Right? The whole purpose of his law is to make you happy. When he came down on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, gave them to Moses, and then later gave all the law to Moses, you know what the purpose was? Make you happy. Because he said, if you keep it, you'll be happy. It's all about making you happy. He's just showing you how to live a happy life. Isn't that something? Proverbs 16 in verse 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. It's wise to heed the word. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. What's the product of trusting God? Happiness. What's the product of not trusting God? No happiness. Not happy. I was trusting God. You don't understand, I've been trusting God for years. That's nice. What about now? You're only as good as you are right now. If a tree falls to the north in the place, or the south, wherever the tree falls in the place where it lies, that's where it is. Where you are is where you are. It's not where you were. I said, where you are is not where you were. Where you are is where you are. Where are you? You're only as good as you are. You're not as good as what you were. What you were was for when you were back then. You understand? What you were was there back then, and that was a part of that. That's not now. What are you now? I'm happy. Why? Because I'm trusting him now. Trusting him isn't for a little while. Trusting him is a lifestyle. Trusting him is another way of saying having faith in him, which we've already said, in believing there's peace and there's joy. See? So if I'm not happy, I'm not trusting. If I'm not trusting, I need to get that right. I need to get that fixed. How do you get that fixed? You build your faith up. How do you do that? Get in his presence. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. He'll draw near to you. Praise God. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Let's go back to chapter 14, verse 21. He who despises his neighbor sins. Got to watch about looking down on people. Despising that person next to you. That's your neighbor right now. Despising others. That's sin. He says, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Hallelujah. And the poor isn't necessarily talking about the penniless. We think penniless when we think of the poor. The poor are the penniless. No, it's the helpless. People that can't help themselves. People that are overcome by things. We've all been there. Have you ever been overcome by something? Too weak. Too weak to get out from under it. Needed some help. Needed somebody to come alongside maybe and to help you out. Needed somebody to have mercy on you. Lend you a helping hand. You were in a helpless situation. Your faith could not get it done, and you were so weak, you couldn't even build your faith up. But thank God you got yourself in a place where people could help you and help get your faith back where it needed to be. That's why you need to come to church, because we need the house of God. So we don't despise anybody for their weaknesses, for their being helpless. We understand. Without the grace of God, we'd all be helpless. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be a mess. Wouldn't be able to get ourselves up in the morning. Are you listening to me? So you don't despise people that are hurting. You don't despise people that are helpless. You don't despise these people. But what do? You have mercy on them. Be merciful. Don't look down on anybody. Don't despise anybody. Anybody that would be referred to as your neighbor, which would be anybody that's in your life. You don't despise, oh, I can't believe them. Can you believe them? Look at them. And no, you never despise anybody. And if you're always merciful, considering your own self and recognizing your own weaknesses,
Understanding that you're a person that needs help too. Maybe not in that area, but you'll need it in some other areas. And you have needed it in other areas. See, that'll cause you to be merciful when you consider yourself. In humility, recognize your own weaknesses. That'll cause you to be merciful. And man, if you're a merciful person, you won't be a judgmental person. Judgmental people are very unhappy people. They're condemning, right? But if you're merciful, you give people slack. You look at people and say, hey, you're a work in progress too. I understand that. You live merciful, have a merciful attitude, you'll be happy. It's a good word right there. Hallelujah. Psalm 21. Psalm 21, verse 6. For you have made me most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. So what do we need to do? Be in his presence. Be in his presence and you'll be glad. You'll be happy. Psalm 144. And I'm not going to cover it all. I'd have to cover the whole Bible. But I'm just going to give you a bunch of things here and show you how it is so God's will for you to be happy. And how he provides the way, the path by which you can be happy. Psalm 144. Let's go back to verse 13. That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. That our oxen may be well laden. That there be no breaking in or going out. That there be no outcry in the streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Is God your Lord? Now, for a lot of people, God is their creator. They recognize God as their creator. In other words, they believe that there is a God that created them. But is he your Lord? Is he the ruler of your life? Is he the one you're following? Is he the one you're trusting in? If he is, then happy are you. If you're your own Lord, unhappy you will be. I'm not saying you won't have times of thrills, times where you'll be happy, but it won't be forevermore. And it won't be that supernatural, deep down happiness that satisfies the soul. It'll only be something that just tickles your fancy. We're not looking for our fancies to be tickled, are we? No. We're looking for our hearts, our soul to be fulfilled and satisfied, happy, glad on the inside. He says over in Psalm 128 and in verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. And it shall be well with you. Notice that if you fear the Lord, you're going to be happy. You got to fear the Lord. You got to recognize, you know, it's either his way or it's the highway to hell. It's the highway to destruction. I fear getting away from the Lord. I fear violating his word. I fear getting away from his word. I fear not being close to him. You got to fear not being close to him. Why? Because to not be close to him is to be close to trouble. Is to be close to problems. See? And so I don't fear the problems. I just fear the Lord. I fear him. Because it's by staying close to him I'll be safe. I fear getting away from him. I need him. That's the fear of the Lord. And so if you fear the Lord, glory be to God, you'll abide in happiness. That's what he said. You'll abide in. You didn't even know happy was in the Bible this much, did you? Didn't even know it. But it's been there the whole time. Happiness, happy. If you do this, you're happy. If you do this, happy, 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 happy. Happy. That's my will for you. Happy. Psalm 45. Psalm 45, verse 7, he says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions.
How would you like an oil of gladness? An anointing of gladness. This anointing does one thing, makes you glad. Anointed with gladness. That sounds like my kind of anointing. Come on. How would you like to be anointed with gladness? Praise God forever. You can come into a place and just bring gladness and destroy all demonic sadness. Why? Because you're anointed to destroy sadness. You're anointed to drive out depression. Hallelujah. Well, how do you have it? Love righteousness. Love what's right. Love what God loves. Love the right way. And hate what God hates, love what he loves, and you'll be anointed with gladness. In other words, you'll be happy. You'll be a very happy person. Psalm 46, we're right there. Let's look at it. Psalm 46, in verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Notice that. There's a river whose streams shall what? Make glad the city of God. Our God. Now notice, he is the river of living water. The Holy Spirit. He's referred to as the river of living water. But then you see, as that river flows, there's all these streams. What's that? That's all these different Christians. They're plugged into the river. They're plugged into the river and they're creating a stream. Well, where do you experience these streams? In church. It's a corporate anointing. There's all these streams that'll make you glad. They're all, the streams, a result of the river of God. But it's these streams, individual believers, bringing their supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that is causing us all to get glad. Amen. It's a corporate anointing. So what are we saying? Go to church, it'll make you glad. Go to church, attend church, it'll make you happy. Partake of that corporate anointing, because he said in Psalm 46, 4, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I don't know if you can handle this one. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Man, God's correction is good. Now, it might not feel good at first. It might feel like somebody just cut you right across your midsection. But bless God, it'll cause you to be happy if you receive correction from him. Happy is the man whom God corrects. Never draw back from correction. Never despise correction that comes from God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then, of course, suffering persecution. Jesus said, you'll be exceeding glad. Condemning, judging others. If you don't condemn others, don't condemn yourself. Romans 14, verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Another translation, the ERV translation says, it is a blessing to be able to do what you think is right without feeling guilty. It's a blessing. It's happiness. You'll be happy. Another translation says, the person who does what he knows is right shouldn't feel guilty. He's blessed or he's happy. Another translation says, happy are those who do not feel guilty when they do something they judge is right. So he's saying, don't judge other people, which we already covered. Again, he said, and you won't be unhappy. And don't be so harsh on yourself. Don't beat yourself up and condemn yourself. You know what's right. You follow God, follow his word, do what's right, praise God, and you'll be happy. You don't have to walk around in condemnation. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm really feeling happy. Praise God. Why don't we stand on our feet then?
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.